Nicola, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Program. Now, looking at revenge pornography, what are the current laws that actually stand to punish offenders or to punish people that distribute revenge porn?
Well, it depends on which state in which a person resides. So in Victoria, since 2014, there's legislation in place. So it's now a criminal offence to maliciously distribute an image of another person without their consent, with a maximum penalty of 2 years and 1 year maximum penalty for a person who threatens to distribute intimate images of another person. There is broader legislation in South Australia that makes it a criminal offence to distribute an invasive image without another person's consent. And in New South Wales, the ACT and Northern Territory, they're also considering introducing new legislation, as well as Western Australia as well.
Mm.
So we don't have any laws at the federal level at the moment. We do have a telecommunications offence, which hasn't been used to apply to these types of behaviours thus far.
Well, it certainly sounds like the situation in Victoria might be catching up with the severity of some of these offences. But are we still sort of playing catch-up? Is the government still sort of playing catch-up on the technology that's available at the moment?
I think that there will always be a lag between what the law says and what's actually happening in practice. And that's in part because of the rapidly changing nature of technology and the rapidly changing behaviours that we're seeing, particularly in relation to domestic violence, for instance, where perpetrators are using technological means as a further form of control, surveillance and abuse.
Mm.
So I think we're always going to be playing catch-up, but I'm hoping that the federal government will also introduce a specific criminal offence, because I think even though the laws can be ineffectual in some ways in terms of people will continue to engage in these behaviours, but having laws in place does send a clear message to the community that these behaviours are wrongs and that they have serious impacts.
Mm. Clearly, we see this this case we're discussing, the Sydney MMA fighter, Julian Wallace. That is an extension of the domestic abuse charges he is already facing, the very, very violent charges that he is already facing. But we do see revenge porn used as an extreme form of slut shaming as well. Is that quite prevalent?
Well, it is. I think that's particularly in the case with women, particularly young women, where there's a lot of victim blaming around her actions, particularly if she took the image in the first place and shared it with an intimate partner or a friend. So there's a lot of victim blaming in those particular cases. And also, I guess, you know, for victims of domestic violence, from the research that we've previously conducted, what we found was that based on the comments from key stakeholders who are working with domestic violence victims, is that these women were reluctant to tell their caseworkers or their lawyers that there were images and that their partners were threatening to distribute those images or that they had those images in their possession. So there is a kind of, there is a lot of slut-shaming around particularly women's behaviours and actions. And, I mean, that's really where public education and awareness campaigns really need to target not the woman's actions or the victim's actions, but they really need to be focused on the ethics of distributing an image of another person without their consent.
Mm. Is there any other measures apart from the legal measures that you mentioned before that can actually be used to address the use of revenge porn, the sort of distribution of revenge porn? How can we sort of eliminate the chances of these kind of images being released without consent?
Well, yes, I think that's a really important point. I think that the law is only one way to address this problem, and it's not the solution to this issue at all. I mean, law is very reactive, so we do need to put in place, you know, primary prevention measures, so to ensure that people are not sharing those images in the first place. And where that really needs to come into play is in schools, for primary schools, in high schools, but also at universities as well, but also more broadly within the community. So having a public awareness campaign addressing the fact that it's not ethical to distribute an intimate image of another person without their consent. And I think that that's where we need to be focusing our attention. But even more broadly than that, I think a lot of this is, you know, quite heavily gendered, in the sense that, you know, it's often the implications for women, particularly young women, if their images are distributed, that those implications are quite serious in many cases, not on all cases, because it depends on the victim. But I think we really need to be kind of having those further conversations, which are taking place around gender equality and gender inequality, and just some of those kind of socially, all those social norms and values and beliefs about women and about sexuality and about gender that I think we need to tackle, as well as addressing this issue more specifically.
Mm. Well, Nicolette, thank you very much. Do appreciate joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.